And you will come to know that music as the entry music for Bill English from BibleandBusiness.com, his song at his request. We're going to talk about Amazon purchasing Whole Foods. And, of course, I think one of the things I heard is they're thinking of replacing workers with robots. Now, not to upset customers, I'm pretty sure they're going to have these robots have piercings and tattoos.
I doubt that.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Again, you're proving me wrong.
But they might have decals.
Okay. That's probably a better solution. No, so is Amazon getting too big, Bill?
No, not at all.
Really?
Not at all.
I'm so surprised that you would say that.
Now, why would you? Well, why would that surprise you?
I don't know.
Look, as long as Amazon is meeting market needs in an efficient way and people are willing to part with their money for the Amazon services, I don't see a problem with it.
Okay.
So the size in and of itself, I realize there's power and corruption issues that come with size, but the size in and of itself doesn't bother me.
I have a friend whose family business was at one point a monopoly. And he said to me,
a monopoly.
Yes. Yes. It was the only game in town. And he said, my grandfather said to me once, people that criticize a monopoly have never had one.
Well, yeah, but the people who have to buy from a monopoly don't particularly care for it.
But is Amazon not becoming this huge monopoly?
Heavens no. There's plenty of places you can go in various industries. If you want to go to a bookstore and buy a book, you can. If you want to go to Target and you want to buy a TV, you can. They have plenty of competition. It's just that Amazon is disrupting the market, much like Walmart did with the mom-and-pop shops. Amazon is now disrupting the Targets and the Walmarts and the Cub Foods and the Rainbow Foods and, whatever other grocery store chains are in your area. They are disrupting that because of their economies of scale in shipping and buying and their corporate philosophy that they don't have to make a lot of money. They just have to make enough money to survive to the next quarter.
Mm-hmm. So if Amazon, they continue to get bigger and bigger, what are some of the inherent problems that a big company might face?
Well, a decision-making process is slowed down for sure because more people get involved in a larger company. Also, knowledge transfer between your seasoned employees in a company and your new employees becomes more difficult, I think, due to a more formal, more rigid structure that a smaller company would naturally do more informally as fewer people interacted and more knowledge was transferred back and forth. Also, you're going to find in these larger companies, although this can be a problem in smaller companies too, but communication often becomes more formal, it's less personal, more political, if I can put it that way. And you have more eyes on emails, more inferences are made by the rank and file, and so you have to be more spinish, if I can put it that way, on how you word things in a larger company. But the two things that larger companies face that smaller companies don't, one is increased regulation and the other is increased litigation. So a lot of the regulations that the federal government puts out do not apply to the very smallest of businesses. So, for example, Obamacare, if you have less than 50 employees, you don't have to provide health insurance for your employees. Over 50, you got to provide something. It's just a mandate. So there's a number of regulations like that that smaller businesses just don't have to pay attention to.
I've seen kids' lemonade stands get regulated, though, by government.
Well, I have too. Yeah. And that was just kind of government run amok.
Yeah, totally run amok. And litigation, I suppose you're open to everyone in their cousin thinking that here's a Target, a company with a lot of money. Maybe I can get some.
Well, a lot of people think small business owners are very wealthy, which is usually not the case. Mm-hmm. And when I was in business, I had two different lawsuits from various elements, and I was less than $5 million a year in sales at the time that those happened. Mm-hmm. So,
all right, when a merger happens, and there's going to be people that are going to get laid off, and that's a scary time in life. Doesn't matter how old you are or what place you have in life. If you've just lost your job and you've been laid off, and what do you do when you get laid off? What's a smart approach? What's the strategy?
Well, I think the first strategy is that for the Christian, you got to know that God is not surprised by this, and you have to know that God is in control and that his promises to meet your needs are going to be fulfilled. One of the most enviable places a Christian can be is when they are utterly dependent upon God,
mm-hmm.
and that they have lost all of their self-sufficiency. They've lost all of their resources. They've lost everything that they have, and that has revealed in their heart a true dependence on God.
Mm-hmm.
That is a very enviable place for a person to be. Now, I think people out there are going to be saying, Bill, that's easy for you to say. I can tell you I've been there several
times. That's Bill English, not Bill Arnold, just so you know.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Bill Arnold, I don't know if you've ever been there. So.
Well, I'm just saying, I know it sounds really good that we're dependent on God, and that's the greatest place to be. But if you've been laid off and your resources are running low or out, that's also a place of panic and anxiety.
It can be.
Okay.
It can be. It doesn't have to be.
Okay. I'm just saying that's probably how a lot of people feel.
Yeah, I have felt it too. I have laid awake at night with panic attacks.
Okay.
Over this kind of stuff.
I appreciate that vulnerability.
But you keep, well, and thank you. Thanks for the buck up, I guess.
Yeah.
But you keep coming back. You keep recommitting yourself to God's care over and over and over again. And you eventually build into yourself this deep trust and confidence in the Lord that had you not gone through that trial, you would have never had it.
Okay. So controlling your emotions, big deal, isn't it?
Well, that's also a big deal, especially in the first hour after you're laid off.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely don't want to say or do anything that's going to burn any bridges with the folks who have just laid you off, because you might very well need them coming up in the next 3 to 6 months.
But in that first hour is your chance to get your piece of flesh. So you got to learn how to dial it back, don't you?
Well, it can be your first chance, but vengeance is not our job.
Mm-hmm.
That really belongs to God, and we need to take that seriously.
Yeah. All right, Bill, I want to continue to cover this. When you get laid off, what should you do and how we need to control our emotions and the next step to take. When we return more with Bill English, it's 15 minutes after the hour, and welcome to your Wednesday. Be back in a minute.
First of the month keeps it coming up much too much, but I'll make it a day at a time.
Good morning. It's 18 minutes after the hour. So glad you're with us today. Bill Arnold here in studio with Bill English. We're talking about what happens when you get laid off.
Yeah.
Got to control your emotions, and you can't say anything that will burn bridges.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to go on your social media sites and start trashing your former employer, mm-hmm. because next employer, 71% of them are going to look at your Facebook, Twitter, and other accounts before hiring you. And if they see that you've been trashing your former employer, that's not going to bode well for you in the interview process.
Probably not. I think the Chinese have a great expression. They say,
and what is that?
If you don't want someone to know something, don't do it.
That's profound.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Yeah.
And you started laughing at me too.
Well, I thought you were going to come up with a joke there.
No, I didn't realize
you were being serious.
I was being serious.
Okay.
All right, what about retrieving your personal information?
Well, yeah, if you have personal information on your work computer and you have an opportunity to, right after you've been laid off, try to get that,
mm-hmm.
put it on a thumb drive, get it out of there.
Okay.
Better, just don't put personal information on a work computer to begin with.
Amen.
Just don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad juju.
Yes.
So,
and then what about informing people?
If you get a chance
that you're being laid off,
if you get a chance to, it's best if you can let your direct reports know that you've been laid off as opposed to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you need to craft the message in such a way that you're not trashing the employer or any particular individual within the company. They need to have an opportunity to hear from you and to ask questions. Now, if you don't have that chance, just give them a call. And go to the local bar and grill,
mm-hmm.
or the local Denny's or wherever, and just have dinner with them and talk it over that way,
sure.
outside of work,
sure.
and personally.
And then is it important if you're getting laid off to make sure you get things in writing?
Yeah, it is. So make sure that you get in writing what your last day is, the receipt of your last check. You want to make sure any of your unused PTO, that's paid time off, is paid out to you, whatever severance pay, bonus eligibility you have. What are the continuation of your health benefits?
That's a big one, isn't it?
It is.
That's a huge one.
That's a huge one. And if they don't continue health benefits, then I would suggest you look at several of these cost-sharing programs for Christians, like MediShare or Samaritan Ministries, those kinds of things. But also, make sure you're signing up for unemployment. And make sure that you know how to access the monies in your retirement program if you decide to roll them into a different instrument and out of the employer's 401k or other retirement plans and programs.
All right. Let's say we've been laid off. And what do we have to do in the long term? Obviously, we've got to try to find another job.
Yeah, you do. But, you know, after you've been laid off, it's going to be painful. Mm-hmm. It's going to hurt. Because you've been rejected.
Mm-hmm.
Even if your job was eliminated, you've still been rejected. It's going to feel that way. So you need some time just to decompress.
How long?
So, well, it depends on how much money you have and how deeply hurt you are.
Right.
But if you're a professional and you're following a normal advice that people say you should have 6 months of income sitting in the bank, you might want to take a month and just, you know, putz around the house, decompress. Maybe go play some golf or something like that.
That was not the statistic that I heard this week about.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 1 in 4 have zero money in the bank for emergencies.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a lot of problems with not having a cushion. So you can't sit around for too long. So maybe file for unemployment insurance.
Yeah,
is that an option?
Yeah, please.
Okay.
File for unemployment insurance right away. But you're going to need a little bit of time to decompress. So if you don't have any money in savings, then my suggestion to you is to figure out a way to live at 80% of your salary rather than 100% of it.
Okay.
And if you have a lot of debt, then you may need to go get some debt counseling on that. But after you have decompressed a little bit, then you got to network.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, you network.
Then what after that?
Your network.
Okay, so that's an important part of the puzzle. So I would think you also want to make sure you've got your story nice and clear and concise.
You do.
As to why you got laid off and what happened and what your vision is going forward.
Yep, my vision is, here's the kind of functions I'm after, here's the kind of responsibilities I'm after, here's what I love to do. And you just start meeting people. And you're never asking for a job, you're just meeting people. Because normally your best jobs are not advertised and they're not opened up where they have a formal intake process. Your best jobs are where you meet somebody and they go, you know, I could use a guy like you on staff. I'm going to rearrange some of my budget money so I can bring you on.
Mm-hmm.
That's the really where you get your best jobs.
Mm-hmm. So make sure that when you're networking too, that you don't embellish what you were doing or how important you were. Or trash your former employer.
Yeah, and I find this is especially difficult, for salespeople. Salespeople are good at selling, and they generally embellish quite a bit on their resumes. I would just say don't embellish, and make sure that you are accurate and that everything that you say about yourself is provable in one way or another.
So if we look at Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Maybe if you're getting laid off, there is going to be a percentage of people out there that's going to say, maybe now is the time to start my own business.
Yeah, I think it's upwards to 30% of those who get laid off end up starting their own business. And in within 5 years, they're making more money than they would have made had they stayed in their previous job.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not always a horrible thing to be laid off. And remember, again, God is in control. God knew you were going to get laid off. He has something in this for you. You just need to figure out what that is and then align yourself with it.
Mm-hmm. So God's not surprised you've been laid off?
No.
Okay. Bill, talk about building a bench.
Building a bench. So while you are employed, now I'm talking to employees now.
Okay.
While you are employed, be out networking with other potential employers.
Mm.
Okay. So be out meeting people. So for example, and I don't mean this in any nefarious way here for you, Bill, but you might want to be out talking to other broadcasters or other entertainment centers or other agents, that kind of thing.
No, I just signed a 57-year contract.
Oh, did you really? Yeah.
I'm good.
But, you know, but for me, I would be out talking to other business consulting firms and that kind of. Why would I be doing that? To build relationships within the industry, for sure. But B, if I do get laid off, I already have some network contacts out there that I can call and say, hey, let's go grab lunch. I just want to see how you're doing. I mm-hmm. want to find out what's going on at your company and tell you about a transition I've just been put through.
And building the bench when you're employed, you're feeling like you're coming from a place of strength versus a place of, ooh, I'm a little desperate right now.
Yeah, yeah, and because
people can smell desperation.
Yeah, they can smell desperation, but they can also smell somebody who is on the ball and knows what's going on. And if you already have some of those contacts in your network, it makes it that much easier to get out there and find a job.
And as we wrap things up, Bill, it's not your employer's responsibility ever to keep you marketable, is it?
It is not.
No. So what's the best thing we can do? What's that piece of advice?
You need to keep growing professionally.
Okay.
So, you know, try to take some certificate programs, be going to seminars, be reading books, be trying some different things in your personal life, hobbies, that kind mm-hmm. of thing that could potentially turn into jobs or a new business, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. It is your responsibility to keep yourself marketable, not your employer's. God expects us to be growing the entire time we're here on this earth. For Christians who pack it in, I'm sorry to say, I think they're sinning. They shouldn't be that way.
Okay. And even if you have some downtime, get involved in charitable organizations
yeah.
and volunteer, because sometimes you get shoulder to shoulder with somebody and they turn to you and say, hey, I own a company. I should talk to you about fill in the blank.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. And sometimes the nonprofit will say, hey, why don't you join us? We have a position we'd like to create for you.
Yeah. So be encouraged, especially if you're laid off.
Yeah.
We're thinking about you and praying for you. And BibleandBusiness.com is Bill's website. You can go get more information there if you like. As always, Bill, pleasure to have you in the studio, and I'll see you next week.
You bet. Thanks.
All right, thanks. It's 26 minutes after the hour. We'll be right back.